From the Ozark Folk Encyclopedia under T, Tawnytown. Every August since 1899, Tawnytown has held a grape festival to celebrate the harvest. Rayburn's files contain several articles about Tawnytown. Interesting to me is the need that the writers felt to distinguish the people of Tawnytown from other Italians, both in their homeland and as immigrants. C.J. Finger, for example, writes that they are Italians, but with something added and with something lost. Of the sunny idleness of their forefathers, they know nothing, nor are they over-vociferous in the manner of their countrymen. They are a quietly energetic people, full of self-respect. Marge Lyon of Sunrise Mountain Farm, in an article for the Chicago Tribune, romanticizes Tawnytown as she does everything Ozark, so that her city readers will not miss the quaint charm and exotic beauty, etc., of her adopted region. She wrote about the 49th Grape Festival in 1948. In the little stone church, Father Schaefer put aside the golden robe in which he had just said Mass. On the shady side of St. Joseph's School, Lillian Siganero, Rosia Bariola, and Lelia Marie Pianalto cut streamers of crepe paper for curly-haired young J.H. Pozza, Jimmy Amerito, and Vincent Paul Pianalto, who were decorating the speaker's stand and throne for Queen Elsie May Fiore. In the school basement, Mary Tessari and Zelinda Bastianelli stirred great kettles of spaghetti sauce, while Emma Verrucci and Violet Ardemagni kneaded great rolls of soft, spongy dough. At the front of the schoolyard, Frank Bandino stood under a tree, eyeing the efforts of a dozen perspiring men who talked volubly in Italian while they had decorated a long table with bands of that same colorful crepe paper. In the vicinity of this tiny town, 5,000 acres of vineyards are now festooned with grapes. The families who own these vineyards have the rhythmic names that denote their Italian ancestry, strange music to ears accustomed to the flat, hard syllables of ordinary Ozark names. Here, in a corner of this land of little towheads, are born dark-eyed, olive-skinned babies. Little girls are named Carmelita, and their ears are pierced before they are 3 years old. Here, in this land of beans and cornbread, housewives serve spaghetti as the family's main food, and tourists may buy native wine at roadside stands. It is hard to believe that this is Arkansas. But in two world wars, the people of this community have proved themselves to be Americans. The story goes back to the 1890s, when Austin Corbin of New York purchased land in southern Arkansas. He wrote to the mayor of Rome asking for 100 families to colonize the land. Each family would receive 20 acres to be paid for in 20 yearly installments. The 100 families, 562 people, landed in New Orleans in 1895. And went to their new home. Corbin took a paternal interest in the colony, but after his death, the uncongenial climate, hard times, homesickness, and malaria caused the colony to fall apart. One group left to form a colony in Ohio, living in boxcars until they could build homes. 35 families lingered in the southern colony until Father Pietro Bandini of New York joined forces with Samuel A. Hughes, general colonization agent of the Frisco Railroad, in finding a new home for them. Bandini led his flock to the hills of northwestern Arkansas. A church and school were constructed along with the homes, and the settlement was given its good Italian name in memory of Henri de Tonty, an aide of the explorer La Salle. In 1685, de Tonty established Arkansas Post, the first capital of Arkansas. Father Bandini became the first mayor of Tawnytown, and was instrumental in bringing other Italian families to the colony. It was Father Bandini, too, who had the idea of growing grapes. He experimented until he found grapes best suited to Arkansas, the great luscious purple Concord first, and others important only for variety. Father Bandini planned a festival to celebrate the harvest, starting with Mass in the church. The grape festival may well retain that note of Thanksgiving. This year, the farmers, taking advantage of a cooperative plan in effect at the Welch's grape juice plant in Springdale, are receiving $65 a ton for their grapes. Each acre of vineyard produces from 2 to 3 tons. The vines are long-lived, too. Father Bandini, who now lies buried in the Taneytown Cemetery, taught his followers well. Although the grape festival is a happy occasion with a carnival and a queen's ball, it has its serious moments. The most serious is the judging of grapes. This year, the universities of Missouri and Arkansas sent top men, Professor J.J. Talbert from Missouri and Dr. J.E. Vail from Arkansas, to act as judges. The third judge was Walter A. Watkins, manager of the Welch's plant, which takes 80% of the region's output. After the judging, everyone made beelines for the school basement. There, the women of Taneytown were serving a dinner of fried chicken, meatballs, and salad, accompanying the 359-egg spaghetti, and for dessert, great platters of purple grapes. Overseeing the preparations was Emma Verrucchi, who does her share in attending an 8-acre vineyard and raising 8,000 broilers each year, along with caring for her 4 children. As long as there is a Taneytown, the Ozarks will have a corner that is forever Italy, and Arkansas is all the better for it.